How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a solid weekend. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We'll be joined by Titans General Manager Rand Carthon at 7 o'clock. We'll recap the Titans draft with him. So looking forward to Rand joining us at 7 o'clock. Corey Curtis for his weekly visit at 8. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press at 8:30, and we'll get into all things Titans and Predators with them in the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How we doing?
Doing better than the Preds.
No question about that. I think most people this morning doing better than the Nashville Predators. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, doing well. Had a long weekend, lots of bridal things to take care of, amongst other things in Nashville. Plenty of sports to talk about, fellas.
There's a lot going on. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Well, Joe, I've watched, I would say, the majority of the Nashville Predators games in the history of their franchise. I've watched every single playoff game they've ever played. And I don't know that I can remember one quite like that one last night. You're up 3-1. It looks like the game is in the bag. I thought for about 57 minutes, they played great. Not just good, they played great last night. And you thought, all right, they're getting ready to even this thing up. It's 2-2. The series turns into a best of three. And not only that, it's a best of three. You've totally outplayed Vancouver in games 3 and 4. They're on their third goalie at this point, and you're feeling pretty good about your chances for the rest of the series. And then just like that, 2 goals, 6-on-5 from Brock Besser to close out regulation. They win it just over a minute into overtime, and it feels like it's over as we sit here on Monday morning. You're down 3-1. What a massive swing last night in about a 4-minute span of game time.
Yeah. I mean, the game was, regardless of even the circumstances of the game, you know, it was such a huge swing either way just based on the outcome, right? I mean, you're talking about tied up against a team with massive goalie injuries that has to be doubting itself, where you've kind of flipped the – I mean, really, you outplayed them, I'd say, vast majority of 2 games. Or this scenario. Again, regardless of how it came about, this scenario, down 3-1, heading out there, elimination game. But then the way that it happened, I mean, I don't know what that does, you know. There have been teams that have come back from things like this. So this tournament is crazy enough that games like that can happen, and then series can still change after games like that happen. But I'm with you. I mean, it does feel like a distant hope for the Predators and their fans that they might be playing a game Friday in Bridgestone Arena.
It does. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, you did about as good of a job as you can do, I thought, of limiting zone time, limiting possession for Vancouver the last 2 games. I mean, you outshot them in game 3, 30-12. Last night you doubled them up in shots. I mean, you did exactly what you wanted to do in terms of controlling the game, 5-on-5 after game 2. Everybody knew after game 2 and the rope-a-dope the Predators pulled in that game that it had to be better in the offensive zone, and they did that. I thought they made some adjustments in the neutral zone. They were better on pucks. They were better on the forecheck. There was a lot of things they did really well in games 3 and 4 that were a lot better than game 2, and yet you find a way to lose both of them. And you know, this series is a good example of why the Stanley Cup playoffs can be so wild. I mean, I think it's pretty clear the worst game that they've played in this whole series is Game 2, and that's the one they've won.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow if you're a Predators fan. But I thought the place was electric yesterday. Quite frankly, I didn't think Game 3 was an overly great environment, and there's a lot of talk about that over the weekend as to why that is. And, look, when you don't score until 3 minutes left in the game, that obviously plays into it as well. But I thought the crowd was great yesterday. I thought the game ops was great yesterday. I thought the team played great yesterday, 57 minutes. And to lose a game that way, it was – I mean, you could feel it. It was stunned silence when that puck went in for Vancouver.
Yeah. And like you said, just to completely flip around what had been going on. I mean, it was – you know, it was over to the point of, you know, Canucks, beat writers, you know, basically – I mean, just – stating as fact on Twitter, up 2-2 on Tuesday, and you know, one you scored one 5-on-5 goal in two games in Nashville, et cetera, et cetera. And even the reaction of some of the players too. I mean, the Nyquist reaction to me was the most, you know, just doubled over after the tying goal. It's a lot to overcome. I mean, it's probably good. Even though it's probably an exhausted team, but they're both dealing with the same thing, that they're just going right to a game Tuesday. I mean, like at this point, you know, everybody knows everybody. Everybody dislikes everybody. You know, so just get right to the game. But, yeah, I agree. Look, I mean, I was at Mike Wilson's wedding Friday, so I can't compare the two atmospheres. I did see a lot of stuff from folks about that. Alex Doherty had a big thread about, you know, game ops and how it could have been better. I think when you not only do you not score, but also they score early, so right. you're chasing the game for most of the game and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought yesterday was great. I mean, it was they had the standing O timeout and a lot of people, you know, slammed a lot of beers or other types of beverages, including Taylor Lewan's daughter.
They did.
Will Levis is. I mean, it was, you know, they had everything going. Yeah. And it really was. It was just like it was a foregone conclusion. So, you know, immediately you ask the question of, okay, so how many playoff games would you make? Is that the worst playoff loss? It is the only playoff loss where they led by two goals in the third period. And it's got to be – it'll be in the discussion. 10 years from now, they'll have some terrible loss in the playoffs or something, and then this one will come up, just like the HOSA, 2010 game?
Yep, Chicago.
2015 Chicago loss was a – you know, they've had a few. I know some people brought up like the Penguins just losing the cup at home.
Sure.
And, you know, but like as far as like a game you thought you had won that you lost, this one's gonna be tough to top.
I don't remember one quite like that. Like the game 5 in 2010 against Chicago was back and forth, and the Predators played great on the road. And remember, to that point, they had not won a playoff series before, and it felt like game 5. Like if you could get this win on the road, that's going to be the difference. And then the way it ended was just brutal, kind of a punch to the gut. But they weren't winning the game. It was tied at that point. This one yesterday, I mean, it's a brutal way to lose. It really is. And, you know, it's a series of events that when Colton Sissons missed that empty net, I mean, tweeted about it. I was like, man, those are the types of plays you got to make in the playoffs. You know, you give up the first 6-on-5 goal, and it's like, all right, well, you gotta make sure that somebody's got a body on Brock Besser, because Vancouver, to their credit, when they get 6-on-5, they've got some guys that can make some really good plays laterally, and I think we saw that last night. But then when you've got a chance to ice it away, if you're Sissons, and look, it's not like he was coasting free down there. I mean, there was a body on him, and he's trying to go to the backhand, get it around, and it just goes off the post. So it's bad luck there. But you knew at that point that Vancouver, I mean, you're holding on for dear life in your own zone. When Besser put that first one off the post, I thought maybe they dodged the bullet, but he was able to get back to that puck and sneak it around. And I don't know about you, and you know, I'm not just saying this because I have the luxury of knowing what happened after, but when they tied it up, I mean, I figured they were losing in overtime. It just kind of felt like that was going to be it. And they did.
And that's the thing. And so it's like they immediately, 62 seconds in, the worst, and that was a disastrous D-zone
is awful
mistake.
Yeah.
You know, there were other – I'm still you watch these other goals, and it's just like – how like Brock Besser, was he in Wonder Woman's plane last night? I don't understand how he's just floating around alone.
They want to find that guy.
All night. You know, the tying one was definitely a like a bowling ball, bowling pins. Yeah, Yossi and O'Reilly, I think, converge on JT Miller, and they both fall. And it's that's one of those chaotic things that can happen. That one's hard to really find a lot of fault. But, I mean, I don't know what the heck. O'Reilly and Forsberg, I think it was a miscommunication between them in some way on the winning goal.
Well, you know, Lindholm is by himself. He could have taken a stroll in the park in front of the net.
Complete bust.
Just complete bust in front of the net at a time where you can't have it. And, you know, it's tough to see that. You would hope that you could regroup in the intermission and the details would be kind of nailed down there, because that's the thing. In the D zone, for the most part, you know, they've had some breakdowns in this series, but for the most part in the D zone, they've been really connected. I think they've played a really strong game in terms of their defensive zone coverage, and to have a breakdown just that glaring in the defensive zone into overtime is really disappointing to see. And now you find yourself down 3-1 in the series. And, you know, I mean, that place in Vancouver on Tuesday is going to be rocking. They've got a chance to win the series. And to play as well as they did over the weekend. And look, they didn't play great Friday. They had a lot of shots, and a lot of that came in the third period. They got a ton blocked Friday. It was kind of the reverse of game two, where they were peppering some pucks. They were having a really hard time getting to the inside. They were having a hard time getting on net. Like Casey DeSmith, he made 29 saves. He only let in one goal. I honestly didn't think he was that good. Like he let a couple squeak through that weren't very good. But to outplay them at 5-on-5 the way you did over the weekend and to not come away with at least one win is just – it's brutal. You can't overcome that in a series.
Yeah. Like I still think that – I mean, Vancouver is clearly better. They have a better roster. They have a more talented team. But, you know, you did a lot of things that you really wanted to do. I think especially like Quinn Hughes has been really neutralized here.
Yep.
You know, we'll see if that changes Tuesday. But a lot of what they wanted to do, I mean, think about how many guys for the Preds who, again, you're sizing up rosters and, you know, Vancouver has more talent. But guys like Kiefer Sherwood and – I think Jason Zucker has been really good.
I do too.
You know, there's a lot of guys playing well. I think McCarron, that line was actually like doing what they wanted to do yesterday, really giving them problems. They're out there, again, hitting Hughes and just doing a lot of what they want to do. And the third period. I mean, I thought the third period might have been their best period of the whole series.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And then, until then, you go all of a sudden 6-on-5, and it's like you just and you know, this is one of the they have had some crazy late game mistakes and losses this year where some details have been lacking. So there is a little bit of a common thread with some of that.
Well, and it shows you how much the little things matter. Sissons misses the empty net. You know, before it was even 3-2. O'Reilly had a great look on the doorstep of a saucer pass that he just whiffed on. I mean, the net was wide open. And he just missed it. And when you miss those plays in the playoffs, it comes back to bite you a whole lot. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. An absolute groin punch of a loss for the Predators yesterday. We'll take your reaction to that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Lost composure. Where was the breakdown specifically on the goal to get it within one and then the game-tying goal?
Well, I think there's a lot of swing in our game, and the first one and the second one, we kind of got beat up ice, and then we got a sure kind of play to clear it. We kind of flubbed it a little bit. We fell down, then we got exposed. And again, it they're going to get their looks. A lot of things happen. You know, I think tonight we gave up a face-off goal and 2 5-on-6 goals. And I don't know if I've been in too many games where you lose games doing that. We'll be right back.
That was Andrew Brunette after the game last night. Preds lose in heartbreaking fashion, 4-3 in overtime yesterday in Game 4. They're down 3-1 in the series, heading back to Vancouver for Game 5 coming up tomorrow. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, if you would have told me this heading into the series, Vancouver would play three goaltenders. You would do a pretty good job of neutralizing Quinn Hughes. You would almost totally shut down Elias Pettersson, which is what they've done. And you'd be down 3-1 in the series. I wouldn't have believed that heading into the series. But that's the way that things have shaken out here. Shelov yesterday, now the third goalie for Vancouver in this series to win a game. Elias Pettersson, again yesterday, I thought was borderline invisible. Didn't do a whole lot. JT Miller's been great, obviously. I think Lindholm's been great. That's about, Besser for sure. Yeah, but those three, that's about it for Vancouver offensively in terms of the forwards that I think have really been playing at a high level for them. And if you would have told me that heading into the series, I would have liked the Predators' chances, and yet here they are down 3-1.
Yeah, and on the Pred side, one thing that's really bad is the power play. But that really wasn't a factor at all yesterday. Both teams had one actual power play, right?
Yeah.
But, the top line is doing – they're not lighting the world on fire, but you had a nice 2-on-1, and Nyquist, plays it perfectly and scores. You had Josi coming through. You're really creating a goal that goes off Forsberg's skate, but it's Josi and Forsberg.
His ear still attached in the postgame, too.
Yeah,
that
was kind of gruesome from up close in the locker room with that ear with Josi. But he was the better of the star defensemen here. Like most things add up to not a 3-1 deficit. But that's, again, it's like, so if you make a couple critical mistakes, it's a total of, 3 minutes and 51 seconds. You go from a convincing clear win to a loss, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, David on the text line. Most frustrating is how the veteran team leaders are the ones who had the breakdowns last night. Like Josi with 14 seconds left wraps the puck around the wall to a Canucks D-man instead of trapping the puck against the end wall. This is from David. Right after that, obviously, he goes for the block against Miller. And he just didn't get it all, right? He sold out for the block, and it bounced off his stick. And when it hits your stick, you could get really fortunate there, and it could go to the corner. And unfortunately for Josi, he went right to Besser. That's what happens sometimes where you just get you hate to call it a bad bounce because it's not as simple as that, but that's what it was when he's selling out for the block. If it hits him, 2 inches below where it hit him in the pad, it's probably bouncing out over the blue line and the game's over there. It's just a real tough break for him and the Predators on that one.
Yeah, I think obviously the winning goal was a huge breakdown.
Yeah.
I think involving – O'Reilly is the guy you would expect to be there, but it could have been a miscommunication with Forsberg.
Yeah.
I'm always, hesitant to be certain about who did what wrong there, but those guys out front messed it up big time.
For sure.
So Lindholm's by himself. I don't know exactly how Brock Besser, on his first two goals, could be as alone as he was to get the puck, be completely invisible. But the last one was, like you said, it was one of the – it's just a scramble. And then it tips off Josi's and it just happens to, funnel over to him. Excuse me. That's just a terrible luck situation. So, I just can't put too much blame on Sissons. Obviously he's going to probably have nightmares about that one. But he was under duress. It was a backhand, and it was an inch away from ending the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be,
You'd love to see him make that play. If he makes the play, there's more that goes into it. You got to find a way to clearly Vancouver at 6-on-5 have identified some things that they're really good at. And when you score 2 6-on-5, you can't let that happen if you're the Predators. You would love to have seen Sissons put that away, because if you do, it's 4-2 at that point, and we're not having this conversation. The game is over. But I'm with you. Some of the conversation last night after the game on social media was basically that he was just strolling in, had a wide open net and missed it, and it was a little bit more complicated than that. He did have somebody right on top of him. So, obviously, there's probably nobody that's going to feel worse today than Colton Tibbetts, right? I mean, you've got an opportunity to put the game away there. But, again, 6-on-5, you let two goals go in. And, again, I mean, it's the margin for error in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's the Sissons play. O'Reilly had a chance at an open net, didn't get it. It's little things like that. When you let a team hang around, they come back to bite you. And that's what happened yesterday. You know, this series, I'm with you, especially at home. I think the play flipped. And O'Reilly, I thought, was really good the last two games. Forsberg had a couple good moments. It was good to see Nyquist. Nyquist, by far, yesterday, played his best game of the series. A lot of guys did yesterday. There's one guy that they still have just gotten nothing from in this series, and it's been killer, and that's Novak. Like, Novak, you knew heading in was going to have to be a factor in some way offensively, and he's been a total detriment. I mean, it's been bad, and he's not done really anything in this series. I thought there was a chance that he might not play yesterday. I mean, Brunette was pretty strong on Saturday with his comments on Novak. I asked him about what it's going to take to get him going. He was like, yeah, he's just waiting, and you can't wait this time of year. You got to go initiate. I didn't see a whole lot of that yesterday from Novak, and it's been very disappointing the way that he's played in this series.
Yeah, you know, I actually did think – I mean, because that was a good question and answer about him, and I did think that he was aggressively trying to skate and get in there and make plays yesterday. Like, I noticed him more, at least, trying – but just not succeeding,
yep.
You know, and it's just he has been taken out. I mean, Brunette was asked about the young guys after the game. You know, good question about how do they, like, come back from something like this. You know, obviously the veterans on this team seen a lot more stuff in the postseason. And, you know, his answer was interesting. He's like, well, they're not the ones with the blood on their hands, yep. You know. That's the thing. I would have been really interested to see how much that Novak line would have played in overtime had it had any sort of duration to it. But it's the veterans and the guys who if you're Andrew Brunette, of course you lean on them who made the mistakes here.
I consider moving somebody else in there for Game 5. And look, it's probably too late at this point.
Parsonen for Novak.
I would probably go Parsonen just because I think his size in this series could be interesting. Again, it's probably too late. I mean, you're down 3-1. If you're going to make that move, probably should have made it last game, in my opinion. But I'm interested to see if there's any lineup changes heading into Game 5. Obviously, Fabro came in for Stasny, who got smacked in Game 3 by Dakota Joshua. I'm a little surprised that they didn't keep that a major and didn't look at that a little bit more than they did, but I guess they determined there was nothing there. I mean, to me, it looked like a pretty clear board, and you lose a defenseman for the rest of the series. So, I don't know. But Fabro, I think he played like 12 minutes and 45 seconds yesterday. You know, he played with Yossi, but there was also, you know, once Yossi got back in there from the ear, they like to have him and McDonough together in a lot of situations, and that's what they did yesterday. So, I mean, there wasn't a ton from Fabro, but, you know, I'm interested to see what the lineup looks like. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Harry. Harry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to say that Wayne D jinxed us when he got everybody upset. There's 5 minutes left in a game. From that point on, it was all gone. So we were jinxed. We were jinxed. We lost because we were jinxed.
Wayne D.
Thanks for the call, Harry.
Wayne D gets the blame. We haven't blamed him yet.
I guess so. We got to stop with the stupidity of the hockey fan jinx stuff. It's really one of the dumbest things in sports. We got
to
stop it.
Well, people like to talk about jinxes.
I understand.
Man. Jinxes are, you know, part of life, part of sports.
I understand.
I mean, they may not be actually part of life, part of sports.
They're not actually part of life.
But they will always be talked about.
I mean, there were people mad at me yesterday for talking about Sissons missing the net. And I was like, well, I don't know what you guys want me to do. I'm not defending. I'm not the one that missed the net. So take it up with them.
They got mad at you for what?
I tweeted about Sissons. I said, Sissons missed the open net. That might be important later.
Oh.
And then when it was important later, people got mad at me. For like, well, you jinxed it. And I'm like, well, maybe tell them to hit the open net or defend somebody.
I think the jinxing it would have been, Sissons hit the open net, but that's not going to be
It's not
going
to make it.
That would have been an issue. Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Yeah,
don't
worry
about it.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Predators' loss in Game 4 coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Nashville Predators. They lose 4-3 in Game 4 in overtime. They're down 3-1 in the series, trying to stave off elimination coming up on Tuesday in Vancouver in Game 5. 615-737-1025, our phone number. By the way, Robbie and Rex Road presented by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. I got a text that says, that's the kind of loss you don't come back from. That's an incredibly demoralizing loss, especially after having everything else go your way for most of the game and then collapsing at the worst possible time. Look, you know, maybe this is, I mean, Philip Forsberg was ready to turn the page so quickly last night that he almost didn't want to talk about anything that happened in the entire game. Maybe it is as simple as they flush it, they go up, and they find a way to win Game 5. And if you can find a way to win Game 5, then you can start to talk yourself into, well, you're home for Game 6, and then anything can happen in Game 7. So, you know, if you get the Game 5 win, then you start to, I think, a little bit more belief creeps into the locker room. It does. I mean, from the outside looking in, it does feel like one of those losses that is just totally demoralizing. And, you know, I'm not saying that you put everything into this, but, like, Gus Nyquist's reaction to it last night in the post game was about what I expected of. I mean, it felt like somebody had walked in there and punched them all in the gut. I mean, that's what that type of loss does in the playoffs. And, look, they're a veteran group. They've been through a lot of stuff. They've seen a lot of things in the league, so maybe they do come out and respond the right way in Game 5, but it just kind of feels like a killer of a loss. And now you got to win 3 in a row if you're going to win the series.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't expect them to come out and just lay down on the ice and do snow angels and, you know, get run over. But, yeah, look, the buildings do matter, I think. And I think the building – excuse me. I think the building did matter for Vancouver, you know, in those first two games, and I'm sure it'll be, you know – wild Tuesday. And look, they're better. I mean, like, I still, at no point have I, even though the Preds I thought played fantastic yesterday, but at no point in this series have I thought anything but Vancouver is a better team. I mean, you know, and obviously you know, they've had opportunities to beat them. They could easily be up 3-1 themselves at this point. But I think you're still going in there and overcoming a better team, regardless of who's in goal for them, because it hasn't mattered, I think is asking a lot. But, yeah, I'm keeping an open mind. This tournament, anyone who's watched this tournament for any period of time, you think you know something's about to happen,
yeah.
I would just
caution.
Yeah, caution you against thinking you know.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. This one's kind of a hard one to swallow for sure as a fan standpoint, because you're leading all the way up to the final 4 minutes of the game, and then all of a sudden it's like tied 3-3 going to overtime, and then you're like, okay, what's going to happen? But with that said, I think after this year, if we do get eliminated here in Game 5, I think Saros needs to go, because his track record in the playoffs is not there. He's a great goalie during the regular season, but I think you need to have that elite goaltender like a Shesterkin, like Florida's goalie, somebody like that to get you through to the next round, and Saros so far hasn't cut it. I'll hang up and listen.
Yep, thanks for the call, Weston. Saros.
Or do you need a great goalie?
Well, I was going through this morning just because of the conversation that we always come back to with goalies here. And based on nothing more than cap hit this year, the top 10 cap hits for goaltenders, there are two of them that look like they're about to get through to the second round. That's Sergei Bobrovsky, and then we know Shesterkin's going. So Shesterkin and the Capitals – or excuse me, the Rangers closed out their first round bye last night against the Capitals with maybe the worst team I've ever seen make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they sweep.
Good job, Red Wings.
And they get to the second round. Other than that, I mean, Hellebuck is getting lit up like a Christmas tree against Colorado. I mean, it's funny because looking at this cap hit stuff, like, Carey Price is still on this. He's got a Big Cap hit. It's been a minute since he's been in it. But there's that. But I mean, it's two out of the top 10 cap hits for goalies are going to be likely in the second round of the playoffs here.
Yeah. So there are things that are more important. I mean, look, again, I think this series tells you that. Now, I think Saros goes on the list of people being blamed by some fans who I think should not be blamed. But, you know, the numbers are, what are they, eight?
He's got 857.
857.
It's not good.
It's not good. I mean that if you just show me that number and show me a 3-1 series deficit, I would assume that he is just playing terrible.
Right.
He's given up a couple in this series that, you know, you don't want, and he hasn't been spectacular. I thought he was really good in the one win in the third period.
Correct.
You know? But that's not good enough, for sure. I think last night, to me, all four, he got hung out to dry. We have some disagreement on the first goal, but I mean,
I thought he overcommitted on the first goal. I thought he overcommitted to JT Miller getting the puck on the other side. Now, I think you're correct when you say, like, somebody has got to be in the general vicinity of Brock Besser over there, and they weren't. So that's a problem defensively, but I thought he overcommitted on the first goal. Now, you know, the rest, you know, the 6-on-5 goals, it's just total scramble mode out there, right? So,
I mean, Besser's alone on one side.
Yeah. It's hard to blame him on either one of those two. But the bottom line is, like, he's got an 857 save percentage. And look, it's four game sample size. So it's like, it's one thing to judge a save percentage over the course of an 82 game season, because that, generally speaking, tells you about what you're looking at. Doesn't necessarily tell you what you're looking at in the playoffs because of the sample size part of it. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, I don't think that he's been some huge problem in this series. I also don't think he's been a huge solution in this series. And if you're going to pay him and you're going to make that decision to extend him, then he needs to be a solution for you. And he has not been that in this series.
I agree. I mean, to me, if you want to talk about the hope for the Preds, a stolen game Tuesday from him might be as good a possibility as you get. Because they're just going to – some of their guys are going to, you know, going to do some things. It's just it's so predictable. I mean, Tockett last night really was – he still was basically talking like a coach who just lost a game. I mean, obviously he was happy to win, but he's like, hopefully some of our guys will get in the fight now. You know?
Well,
Pettersson is clearly who he's talking about, like – you know, subtweeting him every press conference.
Well, I think he knows that they basically committed highway robbery last night. Like, that's what happened. And the Predators, I think, by far played their best game of the series yesterday. And you found a way, if you're Vancouver, to still win it. And you did it with your third goalie and in a game where you basically had nothing going right for you until the last 4 minutes. So, like, I think he knows that 5-on-5 the last two games, the Predators have pretty well taken it to Vancouver. Now, they've also been on home ice, and, you know, especially yesterday, you're down in the series, and you know if you're the Predators, if you lose yesterday, then you're going to be up a creek. I mean, you're down 3-1. So I think the best version of the Predators, for the most part, you saw that for the majority of the game yesterday. So how does that shift now? Like, that's a part of what makes it discouraging, because I don't think you're going to see Vancouver play much worse than they did these last two times out. And you couldn't win either one of them. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. So on the Saros discussion, I mean I agree. I mean, I think the numbers are a little cruel to him given how he's played, but he hasn't been. I mean, going into the series, like you need a spectacular series from him. You know, you need him to I don't know what his goals above expected in the series is at this point, but you need him to.
I think according to Money Puck, it's 0.8.
Okay. Yeah, and then you need more than that. In four games, you need more than a goal above expected saved by him. You know, you need him to erase a few gimmies. Like the Besser first goal, again, I think that Fabro left him. So, again, I don't know if that was someone else who should, you know, there was a miscommunication or if it was just a Fabro mistake. I mean, my guy's the guy's by himself over there. But still, that could have been a spectacular save. And that's the kind of spectacular save that gives you that extra goal you need to win the game.
Oh, and it goes back to little mistakes, too, because right before that, Fabro iced the puck where he really didn't need to. And you ice the puck, they get a play off the faceoff, and it ends up in the back of your net. I mean, it's little things like that in the playoff that adds up to big things. And
how many faceoffs did they win in the D zone yesterday? Felt like,
well, I know that two? Elias Lindholm went 15-5 in the faceoff circle. And that is, I mean, you can't let somebody, especially somebody that's taken that many draws, you can't let somebody win 75% of their faceoffs like that. I mean, he was dominating them in the faceoff circle. Can't happen.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I mean, there's just a lot. You just assume there's going to be some things better from the Canucks, who came out of that, like you said. Tockett knows that they stole one. He knows there's some things that the Preds are doing that are really bothering them. I think they'll probably adjust and play better. So how do you make that up on the road to somehow? If you flush it and you come out with your best game and all that stuff, I still think you're going to need somebody playing above their head. And Saros would be candidate one to me for having any chance to extend this series.
I totally agree. And there's it goes back to, you know, the margin for error, right? Like, you can make an argument. The Predators should have won the first game, and you could certainly make an argument they should have won the last two, right? Like, they've played well enough in this series to at least be tied, and you can make an argument to be up. And yet they find themselves down 3-1, and the one game that I thought that they were pretty bad is the one they've won. Like, it's part of what makes this tournament just unbelievable sometimes is it's really difficult to explain. And here they are down 3-1, where they played, I think, two pretty good games, especially, I mean, a great game yesterday, and just an all-time collapse. Take more of your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans general manager Rand Carthon will join us at 7 o'clock. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans general manager Rand Carthon will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans draft with him. Taking your thoughts in the meantime on the Preds' loss yesterday, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Maybe we'll ask Rand about his quarterback kissing that catfish yesterday. That was intense by Will Levis to start the game.
That was.
Did a good job getting the crowd going.
So, well, I like the as soon as you said that, the music just abruptly, like, take the needle off the record.
Keezer pulled
there.
The plug.
Yeah.
He's had enough of it.
That's all right, because that's a bad Van Halen song. Van Hagar, not very good. Van Halen with David Lee Roth, pretty good.
Heard a nice Creed remix before the game yesterday at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, too. That was weird. Good. Yeah, yeah. That you shouldn't do anything with a Creed song other than turn it off, but they made a remix out of it. What were we talking about?
Will Levis kissing a catfish, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, I like the Lloyd Cushenberry snapping.
The snap
to
was
him.
Good.
That was cool. That was a good idea. And then I mean, he sort of, you know, he took it and he sort of did like the fake throw, but I think he should have actually thrown it, right? I mean, that's a heave from there to get to the ice. But instead,
he's got good arm strength. He can do it.
He does. But he kissed it.
and then he went nuts.
So the kissing, it was definitely not as gross as when Lawan streamed an entire beer through the innards.
How about the
of a dead catfish a few years ago?
The girl that was playing on the band stage yesterday, Allie Walker, putting the beer in the catfish's mouth. And then drinking the beer out of the catfish's mouth. That was a power move. That was good.
That was, there's a lot of, I mean, that seriously, you got to really think long and hard about these things before you do them, I would think.
Rocks Road.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great scene. Lawan, kind of disappointing that he couldn't actually slam his beer, but he put the rest
he
on his head.
Shower after it, yes.
And then the great scene with his daughter, or their sippy cup, and he's like, kind of, come on, slam it. And he lifted her up. She had a blast there. So, yeah, some fun stuff.
Look, we're getting a ton of questions about the offseason and like the plan, and I get it.
Yep.
I'm not really willing to go there yet today. I mean, if they lose, we'll have plenty of time to discuss the offseason and, you know, some of my thoughts. But look, I'll be honest with you. There are some things about this series that have influenced my thoughts about what the plan should be moving forward here. But we'll get into that when the time comes. I mean, right now it's game five. I am interested to see how they respond to this. You know, we had somebody earlier on the text line saying that, you know, how they respond in game five should influence what Trotz does in the offseason. I don't know if I totally buy into that. Look, this is a veteran group. These are guys that are, you know, obviously really proud players. A lot of guys who have done a lot of winning before. They're going to play hard in Game 5. They're going to – whatever they've got left in the reserve tank, they're going to empty it. I question whether or not that's going to be good enough at this point in the series. But I don't think that the Predators are going to come out there on Tuesday and just go through the motions, skate around, and let Vancouver dominate them. Like, you know, it's easy, I think, as a casual observer looking in from the outside to say, yeah, this thing's over, and how do you come back from that? And look, I had that same thought yesterday of I don't know how you come back from that. I expect them to play really hard on Tuesday, and we'll see what that ends up meaning. But it does feel like the cards are really stacked against them at this point.
Well, and look, it feels over to me, not just because of them, but also because Vancouver has a chance to win a series at home, avoid the five-hour flight back.
Correct.
They know they're not playing well. They know that they stole one. So I think that fuels them. It's not just like the Preds being demoralized. It's
right.
Also what has happened to the other side and what I expect them to bring to the ice Tuesday night. I expect them to bring their best. So you're going to have, I think, one, because this sport is what it is and this tournament is what it is, you could hope you have some crazy luck like
sure.
They just got. Because, again, that tying goal is really like that puck. If it doesn't go exactly where it goes after everybody's on the ground and stuff, then they still escape, or if Colton Sisson just is a centimeter closer than, but also I think more realistically, you're going to need some people to play out of their minds. You're going to need like a Forsberg to not just get a goal, but to, dominate a game, Saros to dominate a game. You need something like that.
Well, and again, just think of the margin for error. They close that out. Let's say the Josi sells out. He blocks the shot. Puck triples back across the goal line. They close that thing out. Think about how much different the conversation is today. The conversation is you've evened it up. It's 2-2. You probably should have won game 3, and you've been totally in control the last two games, and it's a best of 3 moving forward.
And they're all banged up, and Quinn Hughes is banged up, and who the heck knows who's going to be in goal, but you have the better goalie, who regardless of who it is.
And instead, here we are talking about down 3-1 and how it feels like it's over. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Mike from Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So what I've noticed is a trend throughout the majority of the season, with maybe the slight exception of the season, my bad, this series, with the exception of maybe a little bit last night, is that the depth of this team that we're playing against, it's hard for us to compare the two teams. But there's a reason why these guys have won their conference and we're in a wild card. But like, I've noticed in particular, when the Tommy Novak line is out there, I feel like we're spending a lot of time on our heels. I know we got a goal out of them in the third game, but like that line in particular just doesn't seem like it's clicking in the playoffs. It's like, I know it's full of guys that are like, young or whatever. But like, I think that's kind of where we start to see where like the big difference between our two teams are, just the sheer firepower. But I feel like they can scream their lines top to bottom, and then we just have one line, and if we can't get them out there at the right times, it's almost like we're just playing from behind the entire time. So I don't know if there's other guys too that you feel the same way, but that Tommy Novak line for sure just feels like it's getting overpowered.
Yep, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, look, Novak's been bad. Let's call it what it is. He's been bad in this series. There's no two ways about it. There's no other way around it. He's been bad. And look, I'm just going to be frank with you. This is why I said they shouldn't sign him. Like, I don't think he's a top six player. And this series has been a pretty good illustration of what I was talking about of, like, he's a good player. I think he's a good regular season player. I question what he's going to be moving forward in the playoffs. And he's taking up a roster spot of a guy that I think you can move up with some of your young guys. So, but, I mean, that is what it is. They've signed him at this point, so it is what it is. But he's not been very good. You know, I think the Predators have actually done a decent job of handling Vancouver's depth. One thing that's starting to become pretty clear to me, Joe, and we're going to wrap up here in just a second to get to Rencarthon, but you look at Vegas last year, they win the Cup. They have gigantic mobile defensemen. Vancouver's got gigantic mobile defensemen. Boston has gigantic mobile defensemen. Like, it's hard to deal with that. It's hard to get to the inside when you've got Tyler Myers and Nikita Zadorov and Carson Soucy. All these guys are 6'5 or bigger, and they can move. And it's really difficult to overcome that and to contend with that. And That seems to be kind of the wave of the world in the NHL right now.
No, that's a great point. You got that. You got the general absence of high-paid goalies deep in this postseason, and that's not the first time, you know, that's happened. That's kind of been a trend lately too.
Yep.
I also wonder with this team, are we seeing? Because someone on the text sounds like we done is out of position all night. I don't think it was nearly that bad, but are we seeing with some of these guys maybe a little bit of age showing?
Maybe. And that's questions like, what does that mean as you move forward? Because they're not getting any younger.
Because, like, the young Preds, I mean, I think Evangelis is a keeper all the way. And as far as young guys, yeah. I mean, Novak's going to be here.
Right. But Stasny, but yeah.
Stasny's going to be a nice player. But, yeah, there aren't enough of them right now.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Titans general manager Rand Carthon. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and answer for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.